Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Noach, and the title of the shiur tonight is Noach, the Non-Believer, a question mark. So the shiur is going to start with a question in the beginning of Parshas Noach. It's a big question about Noach's personality, Noach's philosophy. So we're going to start with this main question, this major question, but then we're going to have to work back and try to understand the personality of Noach on a deeper level to try to answer this question. So we'll start with source number one, which is Bereishis Perek Zion, Pasuk Vav in Zion. It says, V'noach, this is the beginning of the flood. So it says, V'noach ben sheish meo shana v'hamabul haya mayim al haaretz. Noach was 600 years old when the flood started. V'yavo noach uvanav v'ishto uneshe vanav ito el hateva mepenei mehamabul. And Noach, as well as his children, his wife and his children's wives, they all went into the ark, into the teva, because of the waters of the flood. Okay, so the Torah seems to be pretty simple here. It's telling us how old Noach was when the flood started, and it tells us that he went into the flood with Nehemei Amabul. So if we look at Rashi, there's two parts of Rashi. Look in source number two. Rashi says, Noach uvanav. The first Rashi says, Ha'anashim levad, v'hanashim levad. So the first Rashi teaches us that they were separated, the women and the men. They weren't allowed to be intimate with one another because the world was in a state of tsar. Okay, it's an interesting Rashi, but we're not really going to focus on this Rashi, but it's an interesting note. But look at the next one. Because of the waters of the flood. Af Noach miktane emunahaya. Even Noach was one of small faith. Mamin ve'eno mamin. Noach believed and he didn't believe. She yavo hamabul, that the mabul would come. Lo nichnas l'teva ad shetachguhu hamayim. He didn't go into the teva until the waters pushed him in. So this is very strange. Look in source number one, the pasuk says, Vayavo Noach uvanav v'ishto uneshev vanav ito el hateva mepenei mehamabul. Because of the waters of the mabul, that's why he went into the teva. And Rashi, quoting a medrash, he says that the reason why Noach went into the teva because of the mabul was because of the fact that he was really a believer and a non-believer, and because of that, he needed the mabul to push him into the teva. Until the waters of the mabul pushed him in, only then was he able to go into the teva, or was he able, and he was forced and pushed into the teva. So there's a pretty big question on this Rashi, if anybody wants to ask the question. The question on Rashi, which the Radak asks as well, let's look at the Radak, because he asks the very question, the main question of the shiur, the question that's so perplexing that we'll start with. And look at number three. Radak is on the same pasuk, Vayavo Noach, Shiva Yomim Nichnas Kodem Bahamabul. So Noach and his family went into the Teva 7 days before the Mabul, Zeu Mipnei Mabul. That's what it means when it says that Noach and his family went in because of the waters of the Mabul. V'nichnas kodem shiavo. So the pshat is that Noach went in early, that he went in before the Mabul, before the flood started. But the Radak continues in source number three. V'lo yatanu tam l'divrei ha'omer bidrash. I don't understand the idea and the reasoning in the Medrash. She'af Noach haya miktane emuna. That the reason and the idea behind this pasuk is that Noach really lacked in faith. The psukim tell us that Noach was a great tzaddik and he did everything that God commanded him to do. So the Radak asks the main question of the shiur. On the one hand, the Torah, I think we're all familiar with the Torah's depiction of Noach, that Noach is a great tzaddik. And if you look throughout the psukim, which we'll look at, he's constantly doing what Hashem tells him to do. He builds a teva, despite the fact that nobody believes in the flood and the mabul. He does everything that Hashem commands him to do, and yet over here the Medrash is saying that he didn't really believe that the flood would necessarily happen, and he needed the waters of the flood to push him in order to go into the teva. So it seems like a very big problem in the parsha, a very big problem with Noach. On the one hand, Noach was a great tzaddik, and he's presented as a great tzaddik. He never does anything against God's will or word. And on the other hand, over here, Rashi, quoting the Medrash, is saying that he was a mamin ve'eno mamin, that he questioned and he doubted whether the flood would actually happen. How can an individual that spends so much time building a teva, you know, over 100 years building a teva, doubt whether the flood would occur? You know, what kind of person is that? How could that be? So that's really the main question of the shiur tonight, is that concept. Okay, is everybody clear? Hopefully clear. So on the question again, Noach, on the one hand, he was a great tzaddik. If you look at the beginning of the parsha, which we will, he follows all the commandments of Hashem. He's presented as a tzaddik, but yet when it came down to the last moment of the flood, he only went to the teva because of the flood. And Rashi says it as a gnai. It's almost like he didn't really believe it until it actually happened. So the question is, on the one hand, he's a great tzaddik, he follows God's will, he does God's word, but on the other hand, he's presented as a person who lacks faith in God's word, that God commanded, or God said he decreed a flood, and yet Noach didn't really believe in it. So what kind of personality is Noach? How could he not believe in it fully if he did all these things, if he was such a tzaddik? Okay? All right, so we have to go back to the very birth of Noach. When he was born, we gain some insight into his personality, and we have to take some of the clues that Chazal give us and try to recreate his personality and what we can learn from his personality. And maybe then we'll come back to this original question and try to understand why at the last moment, only at the last moment, was he pushed into the teva because of the floodwaters. So if we go back to Bereishis Parakeh, back to the birth of baby Noach, it's Bereishis Parakeh Pasuk Chaf Ches. Vayechi Lemech Shtaimu Shmonim Shana Umiyah Shana Vayoled Bein. So Lemech, who is Noach's father, he lived 182 years and then he had a son. Vayikra Eshemo Noach Lemor Ze Yinachamenu Mimaasenu Umitzvon Yadenu Min Ha'adama Asher Eira Adoshem. So he called him Noach, this son Noach. Why? Because he would provide us rest, meaning the world, provide the world rest from the work of our hands and from the itzvon yadenu, the depression, the frustration of our hands, from the land in which was cursed by Hashem. So we are immediately given the tam, the reason behind Noach's name. And the reason for Noach means to rest. The idea being that Noach provide us or will provide us with rest from the cursed land in which Hashem had cursed in the time of Adam and Chava. So why is this significant and what is this referring to? What is Noach? Why was Noach named this name? So let's look at Rashi. So Rashi says, "Zeinachamenu yanuach mimenu es itzvon yadenu." So Noach provided us rest from the frustration of our hands. Ad shelo ba Noach lo hayad lahem kli macharisha v'hu heichen lahem. So Noach, according to the Torah, was responsible, and Chazal was responsible for creating plowing tools. They didn't have the plow beforehand; they did it by hand. They cut up the ground by hand, whereas Noach came along and he created the plow. V'haisa aretz motzia kotzim v'dardarim kishazorim chitim. When they would plant wheat, there would be a lot of thorns and thistles. Mikilaso shel Adam arishon, because of the curse of Adam. Uvimei Noach nacha, in the time of Noach, it ended up subsiding. V'zehu yinachamenu yanuach mimenu. That's what it means when it says Noach. It means that we'll be rested from the frustration of our hands. And then he goes on, V'im lo tefarsheu kach, ein tam olasho nofel al Hashem, ve'ata tzarach likros shemo Menachem. It doesn't mean comfort, because then he should be called Menachem, but it means to rest, like Noach, nach, to rest. So we see one thing from Rashi, that when Noach was born as a baby, immediately it seems like according to Rashi, he wasn't named when he was when he was just born, because it's impossible, unless he was a super baby, that he would create a plow right when he was born. But soon after, when he was one of the greatnesses of Noach was that he created the plow. He was an inventor. He was like a Thomas Edison, and he came up with the plow. And some of Farshim say this was a nevuah, actually. He was named at birth because of the fact that it was known that he was going to create the plow, and because of it, there's a tremendous relief in the world. So the Torah tells us this, and we have to understand why the Torah is telling us this about Noach's personality. What's significant about Noach's personality that we have to know why he was named Noach and that he created the plow? And if we go on, look at number 6, before we just give one simple idea and then we'll move forward. The Svarno, in number 6, he says, what does it mean, Zeyinachamenu? Hispalel, Shezeyinachim, Behimtziu Menucha Mimasem. It was really a tefillah. It wasn't a nevuah that Noach would create the plow and he would be responsible, but it was a tefillah that Noach should be or should help the world in this manner, and he should allow the frustration of working the land subside. Kimilas Noach Toras Menucha. He agrees that it means rest, like Rashi. So either Svarno says it was a tefillah, Rashi seems to say that Noah was actually a nevuah, that Noah would be the creator of the plow. But either way, we see some critical ideas in the birth of Noah. When he was first born, we see some insight into Noah's personality. So before we answer the whole share and we define the whole share, we're going to just build up some points and some concepts. But the first thing, and we'll come back to it, is that the Torah, in describing Noah's birth, seems to be giving us two ideas or two points. One idea that I would abstract from here, from this Rashi, is that Noah was very intelligent, which isn't a stretch, and that Noah's intelligence was tied to his inventiveness and creativity, that he was able to apply his creativity and create the plow. That's one idea, but that's a simple. The other idea that we see, which we'll come back to and we'll tie into the shir, is that Noah was very important to mankind. He wasn't just a regular guy. He wasn't born, and his name wasn't just a Lemach or a, you know, like anybody else, like a Mesushelach or like anybody else before him. But his name was named specifically because either Rashi would say that he created the plow, or the Svarno says there was the tefillah, that he should help mankind, and because of his help, the frustration of man's work would subside. So either way you go, either the Svarno or Rashi, it seems like Noach, from his birth, from a very young age, was distinguished and was separated and was relied upon in order to be a great help to mankind. And that's what we see from an early standpoint in Noach's life. And that's why the Torah perhaps is telling us who and why Noach was named this name. It's telling us this because of his role and his place relative to his society. That he was viewed upon as a great person, that he provided this help to mankind, or there was this hope and this belief that Noach would be able to provide this because of his great intelligence and his great potential. So we see two things about Noach. Noach had great potential, he was great intelligence, and the second thing is that he provided a great service to mankind. Okay? So let's go on, and we'll come across some other questions, and then hopefully everything will come together at the end of the shiur as like typical shiurim, and then we'll answer some of the main questions in the shiur. So we go on in the shiur, when we come to the actual destruction of the people, and I'm trying to go in order of the Torah. So first the Torah presents us with Noach's birth and why he was named Noach, and then it tells us that the people were going to be destroyed. And look at number 7. It says, "Vayomer Hashem emche es ha'adam asher barasi mi'al pnei adama mi'adam ad behemad remes v'ad of hashamayim ki nichamti ki asisim." So Hashem decides to destroy all of humanity because of their actions and their debauchery and all those actions and Hamas. And in Ches, Hamas mipnehem, and in Ches it says, "V'noach matzachin b'nei Hashem." But Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem. So what does it mean that Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem? Why did he, and in what way did Noach find favor in the eyes of Hashem? So once again, we come across another knock at Noach, something a little perplexing. If you look at the Radak, it's kind of mixed. On the one hand, in number 8, the Radak says, "V'noach matzachim b'nei Hashem." What does it mean that Noach found favor in the eyes of Hashem? "Asa ma'asim tovim shebehem matzachim b'nei Hashem." He did a lot of good actions. He wasn't like his fellow peers, his other people in his generation, and he did a lot of actions that found favor in Hashem's eyes. "V'chein ne'emar b'Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom ki matzasi chein b'nei." U'v'vreshes Rabba, in the Medrash it says, "Amar Rabbi Abba bar Kahana ki nichamti ki asisim." V'noach, that Hashem regretted that he made man. "V'noach esmaha ela afilu noach shenishtayir mehem loya kedai ela shematzachin b'nei Hashem." So the Radak says that Noach, how do you read the Psukim? That really Hashem regretted creating man, and Noach really should have been amongst them. He really should have been destroyed. However, he was matzachin b'nei Hashem. So on the one hand, the Radak, again, it's like this mix with Noach. On the one hand, Noach's this great person. He has this great potential, and on the other hand, and he did these great actions. But on the other hand, at the end of the Radak says that Noach really, there's a part of Noach that deserved, or there's a reason why Noach really deserved to be destroyed, and it's only because of the chen, the favor in God's eyes, that he was saved. So again, it's like an underhanded compliment. He's a great person. He was a tzaddik. His maisim were great. But on the other hand, he was only saved for a separate reason. He really didn't deserve intrinsically to be saved. And the Torah Tamimah says the same thing. The Torah Tamimah number 9, V'noach matachein, look in source number 9, Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, af al noach nechtam gzardin, ela shematzachein. Even on Noach, there was a decree that he should be destroyed with the rest of the people. However, Noach found favor. Shneamar, as it says, Nichamti ki asisim v'noach matzachein meini Hashem. So it's the same thing. So again, same question as before. So let me just summarize before we move forward. Try to, you know, summarize and simplify the questions. But really the main question is, on the one hand, Noach is a great person. But on the other hand, there seems to be some contradictory aspects and elements brought up by Chazal. One is that Chazal say that he waited to the last moment to go into the Teva, so he didn't fully believe that the Mabul would happen. And then we find the Torah tells us why he was named Noach, which we explained a little bit, but we still have to fully understand the importance of it. And then finally, we're at the point where the world is going to be destroyed, and Chazal tell us that Noach should have been included in that destruction, and he really should have been destroyed with the other people, and it's only because he was matzachein b'nei Hashem that he was saved. So why? Why should Noach be destroyed with the rest of the people? What is it about Noach's personality that was negative, and what was positive? How do we understand Noach? Okay? Anybody have any questions before we go on? Clear, hopefully.
Okay. It sounds strange, yeah.
Go ahead.
That you said that he should have been destroyed, and then he felt because I don't know. It doesn't make sense. That like, why would I don't know?
Yeah, well, that's the question. Why should he have been destroyed? Why should he have been?
Like, how does God work that way?
Exactly. Okay. Good question. Well, okay, so how does it work that way? That he, on the one hand, he should have been destroyed, but it was matzachein. You know, what is that idea that Noach was matzachein? So, like I said,
does it have to
yeah.
Time? Yeah. Does, you know, it sounds also kind of like you're talking about the one of me that had been that, you know, man should be destroyed, and that's the way it really should be. But then there's me that rachamim that, you know, there's a way that you could exist, you know, based on God's rachamim. It's, you know, it's not the strict, just way that it should be, but based on, you know, because he had these good qualities, so then the Midah HaRachamim came into play.
Yeah, I think I saw one of the Mefarshim explain it that way, but, and I think you're right. It's definitely a difference between Din and Rachamim, that there was a Rachamim that applied to Noach, but still, we have to understand that conflict in Noach and the different elements of his personality. But yeah, I agree with you that it was rachamim. But like I said, hopefully we'll come back to it by the end of the shiur, and it'll make more sense or be clearer. So let's go on just a little bit more. We find the most famous example, I think, whenever you take Chumash in, even in elementary school and high school, the most famous example of Noach's dichotomy is in source number 10. So it's the first pasuk in the parsha, and like we're going in order. So first we learned about his birth and why he was named Noach. Other than the first question, we're going in order. So first we learned about Noach and his birth. Then afterwards we learn about Noach, that he may not have deserved to be saved because of din, but only because of rachamim. And now the Torah tells us about Noach himself. So it says, Ela toldos Noach, Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedorosav, es halokim hisalech Noach. So these are the offspring of Noach. Noach was righteous. He was perfect in his generation. And he walked with Hashem, with God. So it sounds like a great praise of Noach. And with that pasuk alone, you would say, why should Noach, this is the questions that we asked before, of all the contradictions and why Noach should have, you know, waited to the last moment and should have been destroyed. They all seemed, you know, even stronger. So what does it mean? Look at Rashi. So Rashi tells us two things about Noach. One is a famous Gemara. I didn't quote the Gemara, just Rashi. He says, Bidorosav. Yesh merabosenu dorshim oso l'shvach. Some say that it's a good thing, it's praiseworthy. Kol shekein she'ilu haya bidor tzadikim haya tzadik yoser. If Noach was in a greater generation with other tzadikim, he would have been a greater tzadik. So that's one interpretation of the pasuk. And v'yesh dorshim oso lignai, but some say that it's really a negative, Lefi doro haya tzadik, Noach was only a tzadik in his generation. V'ilu haya bedoro shel Avraham, lo haya nechshav leklum. But if he was in the generation of Avraham, he wouldn't have been considered anything. So the first, another example of this dichotomy and this contradiction in Noach is this machlokas. On the one hand, some say that Noach would have been a greater tzaddik had he been in a different generation, and others say, no, had he been in Avram's generation, he wouldn't have been such a tzaddik. So, similar question as before, what is the machlokas between these two opinions? Can we explain the machlokas and try to understand why this machlokas would even come into play, and how these two differing shitas would explain the personality of Noach? What are they really arguing about? And then the next Rashi also, I think, ties into it. It's in the same pasuk. Is Esau Elokim Misalech Noach? There's a comparison to Uva Avraham Hu Omer. By Avram it says Hisalech Lefanai Asher Hisalachti Lefanov. It says by Avram that Avram walked in front of God. He who walked in front of him. Noach Hayatzarech Saad LeTomcho. Noach required support to hold him up. Aval Avraham hayamischazek umahalech betzidko me'elov. Avraham was independent in his tzidkus. So Rashi's bringing down both ideas. One, there's a machlokes of whether Noach would succeed in a different generation. And the second idea is that Noach was not like Avraham. Avraham walked before Hashem, whereas Noach required support. So we have to understand, furthermore, and this is really an essential question in this year, A, what the machlokas is about Noach, whether he would succeed in another generation, it obviously goes to the root of his personality, and B, what this difference between Noach, what does it mean he needed support? In what way did he need support? Okay? And if we keep going on just a little bit more, and then we'll try to sew everything up. So we look at number 13. I just brought in the psukim by Avram. It says, "Vayi Avram ben Tishim shana v'teisha shanim, vayar Hashem el Avram vayomer elav ani kel shakai hisalech lefanai v'yesamim." So Hashem appears to Avram and he says, "I am kel shakai and walk before me and be perfect." So when Hashem addresses Avram, he says, "Walk before me." Whereas by Noach, it doesn't say "before me." It says Noach hisalech esalokim hisalech Noach. Then Noach walked with God. So we have to understand the difference between the two. Look at number 14. Vayomer Eli Hashem Asher Yisalachti Lefanov Yishlach Malcho Itcho V'Yitzliach Darkecho V'Lakachto Yishal Devnim Mishpachtim V'Yisavi. So it's by Avraham to Eliezer that it says that Asher Yisalachti Lefanov, that Avraham walked before God. So again, it's the same theme. I'm just bringing down the psukim from Rashi. What does it mean that Avraham walked before Hashem, whereas Noach walked with Hashem? How is their perfection and their personality different? Okay? And then finally, if we just to strengthen the questions, it says, number 15, it says, Vayomer Elokim, Noach always does as God tells him, Vayomer Elokim, Noach keitz kol basar b'lefanai kimal aretz, chamas mipneham b'hinini mashchi samas aretz. So Hashem introduces the whole mabul, and what happens? Look at number 17, Vayas, number 16, Vayas Noach kichol asher tivo, so Elokim kenasa. Noach did as God commanded. So what was wrong with Noach? He keeps following God's commands, and number 17, Vayas Noach zebinyan ateva. So the person who is so conflicted, we said in the beginning of this year, the person who didn't believe that the flood might occur or not, and that's why he needed the flood waters to push him into the flood, he does everything that God tells him to do. God commands him to build a teva. He does it right away. He does it well in advance. So how could he have that doubt? And how could this person who's a tzaddik on the one hand, how could he be depicted and presented in such a conflicted manner? And then in number 18, sorry. I know there's a lot of sources tonight, but they're small. Look at number 18. Vayomer Hashem l'Noach bo atav v'chol beischa el teva ki oscha ra'isi tzaddik l'fanai bador hazeh. Okay, so it says there that Hashem commands Noach. And this is also an interesting. Hashem commands Noach to go into the teva because he's seen him as a tzaddik in this generation. And Rashi explains ki oscha ra'isi tzaddik velo nemar tzaddik tamim. It doesn't say that he was a perfect tzaddik, whereas it says beforehand mikan sheomrim miktzah shvachol shel adam mefanav v'chulo shelo befanav. You don't want to praise a person fully in front of them. You only give them slight praise. This is also a strange idea, a strange Rashi. Why does it mention that God says to Noach, ki oscha ra'isi tzaddik, just tell him to go into the teva, And then the last point, it says, Vayas Noach Echol Asher Tzivo Hashem, that Noach did as God commanded, Vayas Noach Ze Biyosol the Teva, he went into the Teva. So same, all the same question. So it's how Noach, on the one hand, he's presented as a tzaddik, he does everything, in the Torah, he does everything that God commands him to do, but yet Chazal point out that he's not as good as Avraham, that there is defects in his personality, that he really deserved to be destroyed with the rest of the people. It was only because of Rachamim that he was saved. And we have to answer all these questions, okay? So let's go back to source number 11. I think we'll start with that, and then we'll try to expand from there and answer some of the questions. So in source number 11 in Rashi, we are given the two ideas about Noach's personality on the first pasuk in this week's Parsha. And one idea is that there's a machlokas on whether Noach would be successful in his generation or another generation. And the second is that he was different than Avram in the sense that he needed a support. So let's try to define that. Let's try to understand Noach's personality. So we have the two sides. One side says that Noach would have succeeded in another generation, and the other side says Noach wouldn't have succeeded. So what is that machlokas? So I want to try an approach, a possibility to explain this Rashi and put everything together. So it seems to me, based on the naming of Noach from his very birth, that Noach had a certain type of relationship with the people, that from a very early age, he was an Eloi of sorts. He was separated and distinguished in his intelligence, his potential. He was relied upon by mankind in terms of Rashi saying the plow, but even the Sforno saying that there was a tefillah from his very birth that he should be the savior of mankind and allow them to work the land. So a lot of Noach's personality and his development comes from the naming, as we saw by Cain in last week's shir. The naming is not just accidental, but it's part of the personality and the development of the person. So Noach too, we saw from the very beginning that he was relied upon on mankind, and he was kind of separated as a young age and viewed upon as an Eloi, as a genius, as a great genius and a great savior. So the machlokas is over there. So now we go back to number 11. So what's the machlokas about Noach? Would he succeed in another generation or not? So I don't think they're arguing about the basis for Noach's personality. I think that everybody agrees that Chazal, they both agree that Noach had a certain relationship to the people that allowed him to succeed. In other words, sometimes when you're in your generation and you're separated, as Noach was, and he was placed on a different pedestal and a different level, it drives you, and it continues to fuel your righteousness and your ability to separate yourself. See, Noach was separated at a young age because of his intelligence, but that also was fueled him or assisted him somewhat. It doesn't mean that he didn't believe in Hashem or he wasn't righteous in his own right, but he needed some of that. It helped him. It helped him accomplish and be on the level that he was. The fact that the rest of his generation were Rishayim, and that he was distinct, and he was almost on a different level, and that helped him, that assisted him in achieving the level of tzidkus that he was on. So the machlokas in the Gemara and Rashi bringing down is sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes that's a bad thing. See, sometimes it helps, and even if you're amongst other great people, it drives you even more, and you see this a lot of times in academics, everything in sports. You know, sometimes certain people strive, they succeed when they're placed in a challenging situation. You go to a great school, you go to a difficult, challenging school, and you want to separate yourself even more from your fellow students, your fellow peers. Or in sports, if you're a certain sports player, a basketball player, and even if you play with great players, you want to separate yourself and distinguish yourself and be even greater than them. So sometimes that personality is successful amongst other great people, because it challenges them even more and it provides them with an even greater motivation and impetus to succeed. But other times it ends up backfiring, because you realize that you're not so special and you realize that you can't really compete with others, and that ends up backfiring and you end up failing and you give up and you can't do it. So the machlokas between the Chazal is that both Shitas and the Gemara are recognizing that Noach, He fed upon and he survived and fed upon his relationship to the people, that he recognized that he was a little bit separate. He was separated from a young age, And it pushed him and propelled him to his righteousness and to his tzidkus. But he almost needed them in a certain sense. And sometimes that's the machloka. Sometimes that helps and sometimes that hurts. And sometimes a person who has such a strong competitive drive or drive to separate and distinguish oneself, that person could even succeed amongst other tzaddikim. And other times you can't because you just end up failing and you realize that you're just, you're not as great as you thought you were. So that's Noach's personality, and it's not a black and white. Torah's not black and white. It's not telling us that good or bad. He's complex. Noach was complex. It's not saying that all of Noach's personality was this, but it's saying that it was definitely an aspect of his personality. And that also explains why the difference between Avram and Noach. What was the difference between Avram and Noach? See, Avram walked before God, meaning that Avram's interaction with God and his Avram had nevuah with God. It didn't really affect him. It didn't make him feel differently about himself. He walked before God. He didn't need, and so the Torah is almost depicting it that he didn't need God to guide him. He didn't need God's interaction. You see that from Avram's personality. He discovered God on his own, you know, by using his mind alone. Whereas Noach, it seems like Noach needed a support. What does that mean, needed a support? See, he fed off also the relationship that he had with God. It wasn't simply that Noach was searching or wanted the relationship with God to attain higher levels and higher ideas, but he actually fed on it emotionally. And a proof of that is in the Psukim. If you look at number 18, it says, "Vayomer Hashem Noach, bo ata v'chol beischa la'teva ki oscha ra'isi tzadik l'fanai bador hazeh." Hashem tells Noach that you should go into the teva. Why? Because I see a tzadik, you're a tzadik before me in this generation. And Rashi says that you say some Shevach to the person, but not all Shevach. But still, why did Hashem say that to Noach? Why did he even mention, Ki oscha ra'isi tzadik l'fanai bador hazeh? Is it not enough that Hashem's saving him? Just tell him to get into the teva. See, Hashem, the idea is that Hashem, in his interaction with Noach, he's feeding Noach. He understands, obviously, God knows all, and Noach's personality was known. And this fed into his personality, this realization that he had a close relationship to God that nobody else had in his generation. This fed his personality. It fed his righteousness. So on the one hand, he was a great person, but on the other hand, he needed and he was fueled by a certain relationship that he had to the people of his generation that fueled his tzidkus, his righteousness. And with that, we can also understand, just before we get to the first question, we can also understand why he was included in the, he should have been destroyed, but it was only because of Rachamim that he was saved. Because really Noach, he was one with the people. He wasn't distinct enough from the people that he deserved to be saved in his own right. Because really the Gzeira was on the people as a whole. And Noach identified, as much as separate as Noach tried to be and acted, he still identified himself with the people. He still needed the people in order to achieve his level of tzidkus, his righteousness. And because of that, because Noach really still was dependent on the people and he was almost one or part of the people, that's why there was some aspect in which Noach, or some reason why Noach deserved to be included in the Gzeirah. It was only because of Rachamim that he was separated, because he exhibited other qualities of righteousness that he was saved. Okay, so now with all that, that's really the main concept of this year, the main personality, complexity of the personality of Noach. But because of that, we can also go back to the original question, and I think it'll make more sense now. See, Noach, Rashi says originally in Bereishis Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, that Noach only went into the Teva because of the Mabel, and he says he was a Mamin and an Eino Mamin. So why was he so, how could he doubt it so much that the flood would happen, especially being that he did everything that God commanded and he prepared the Teva in advance? So the answer lies in the main concept this year, the development of Noach's personality, which is that Noach really, he couldn't fathom, it was difficult for him to fathom his existence separate from the rest of the people. And accepting the fact that the people, all of his colleagues and his peers, even though they were evil and he fed off that and it fed to his righteousness, accepting that they would be destroyed was difficult for him because he needed them. He needed their existence, or part of their existence was necessary and pushed him to be such a great person. And the fact that they were all going to be destroyed, it bothered him. It was something, it was a source of doubt. And it created, that's what it means, miktane emuna haya. It doesn't mean that he didn't believe in God or he didn't believe in God's word. No. It means that at the last moment, it was hard for him to accept. There was a part of him that couldn't accept the fact that the rest of the world would be destroyed because he felt attached to them. Even if it was in a distorted way, even if he wasn't one of them, he didn't worship like them, he was on a different plane, but he still had a certain need for them, a need in terms of his own profession. And that's one of the reasons why it was so difficult for Noach to go into the Teva and to accept the Mabel and to accept his fate. And also that might explain also why he, towards the end of the Parsha, after he gets off the Teva, his response is drunkenness. It was very difficult for him to deal with the destruction of all of humanity, not just from an emotional, but also from a religious standpoint, from his own perfection standpoint. So that's really the main point of the share. So there's one other aspect I want to bring in, which isn't brought down by the Mefarshim, but for some reason it sticks out of my head as something I've learned in the past, and now it also fits in. It makes sense. So if you look at number 22, it says, "Vayomer Hashem lo yadon ruchi ba'adam lo'olam b'shagam hu basar v'hayu yamav me'av esrim shana." So the psukim in Bereishis Parag Vav Pasuk Gimel, the pasuk says that Hashem was done with humanity and he gave them 120 years. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says, what's the reason for the 120 years? Look at number 23. It says, "Klomar mipnei ze arich lahem afilu Arech lehem api, ve'ekva lehem mea ve'esrim shana, shiashuvu b'tshuva." So the idea was that God was suspending his anger so that humanity would have the ability to do tshuva. Vim enam chozrim b'tshuva, yovdu b'mabel. And if not, they would be destroyed in the mabel. So the famous question is asked, why is it that Noach wasn't successful? See, we see by Avram, look at number 24, Avram was very successful in converting people. Vayikach Avram asara ishto, v'aslod ben achev, v'askol ruchu sham asher achashu, v'asanefesh asher asu b'charan, v'ayetzu l'aleches ar teknan, v'ayvor ar teknan. And I didn't have enough room on the page, but v'asanefesh asher asu b'charan is a reference to the converts. And Avram and Sarah were very involved in converting people and teaching them ideas about God, whereas Noach, he was given so much time to try to affect the people, but he was unsuccessful. So maybe the Shir really explains the difference. The difference between Noach and Avram is that Noach, because of Noach's personality, he was fueled off the riches of the people. That it almost helped him, and it was difficult for him to assist the people or to try. He wasn't as successful at getting them to do tshuva because of that aspect of his personality. It was almost like a block for him in terms of his ability to affect people and get them to do tshuva. Whereas Avram's personality wasn't dependent. He was completely separate. He obviously loved people, human beings, but he didn't need them. He wasn't fueled by them. And Avram was willing to accept Sodom and Amora. He fought for them to understand the justice. But on the other hand, he was willing to accept it, and it didn't affect his religiosity or his belief or his greatness, what happened in Sodom and Amorah. So once again, we see another, for some reason I remember that being a point that Noach wasn't successful as Avraham and Sarah were. So, but this explains that as well. So Avraham's personality was different than Noach's personality in this matter. So let me just summarize the main points of the shir. And then we'll take up the questions if anybody has questions. So the main question of the shir tonight started with the Mipnei Me'am Babel, that Noach presented as a Ketanei Emuna, that he lacked faith. He didn't really believe that the flood was going to happen. And yet we have a lot of information in the Torah that seems to point to the opposite, that Noach was a great person and that he was a tzaddik and he does everything that God commands him. So where is this coming from? So we get hints in the Chazals that Noach was a little bit more complex. And he had some elements and some flaws that aren't presented to us outright in the Torah itself. And we started with Noach's developments, that we see from the very beginning that Noach had an incredible intelligence, and he was a great inventor, and we see that also he was already separated from mankind. He was viewed as almost a savior of mankind, but he was put on an elite level. He was separated at a young age. And then we find other examples of the complexity of Noach, that he should have been destroyed, but only because of Rachamim, He's not destroyed. We see that there's a machlokes, whether he would have succeeded in another generation. He needs support, unlike Avraham. Hashem says to him, Ki oscha ra'isi tzadik. So how do we put all these things together? So we explain that Noach, as opposed to Avraham, Noach's personality was that he was fueled by his relationship to the people, his status relative to the people. And the fact that the people were Rishayim almost fueled him further to be a greater tzaddik, to move him to a greater level. And the machlokas is, was Noach's personality such that that drive would have even pushed him in another generation to be greater than even Avraham or not, or he wouldn't have succeeded. And also he needed some support. He needed to feel a relationship with God, that he was special, that he alone had this relationship. That was important to Noach. It was an element of his religiosity, an element of his, and it fueled him as well. So all those things being said, it's not to say that Noach wasn't a great person, and everybody has elements of Noach's personality. The Torah and the Chazal, they're presenting us with a real person, a real tzaddik. Yes, he wasn't as great as Avraham, and he had some elements of flaws, but they're very subtle. And the Torah and Chazal, they present us the personality of Noach. And finally, at the end of this year, we went to the idea that Noach wasn't as successful as Avraham and Sarah as kiruv workers. Because Avraham and Sarah, they weren't as dependent on their relationship and status relative to the people was different than Noach's. Avraham was able to separate himself completely, and Noach, he needed the people. And that's why we came back to the original question. That's why he couldn't accept. It was difficult for him to accept the flood actually occurring. Because at the moment that the flood occurred, he had to accept that fuel was going to be gone, that all the people were going to be destroyed, and he would no longer have that element in terms of a source of his religiosity, as a source of his tzidkus. Okay? So that's really the shir tonight. Anybody have any questions or want to add anything to the shir? Sure. Yeah?
I learned that it was Noah separated himself because he was afraid that the people would affect him. So it's different. What you're saying, it sounds like he kind of almost wanted the people to be evil so that, because that would help him. Like he wanted to...
Well, I'm not saying that he wanted the people to be evil, but I'm saying it helped him. It doesn't mean that that was his drive or desire, but it means that it was an aspect that assisted his tzidkus. So I'm saying that on the one hand, I'm sure that he tried to get them to do tshuva, but I'm saying he wasn't as successful as Avram and Sarah because this element of his personality prevented him from being successful in that arena, perhaps. So I'm not saying I'm not saying that he was an evil person, and he certainly didn't want people to die. He didn't want to keep them as Rishon, but there was a part of him that succeeded because of that, as a result of that. And because there was a part of him that succeeded as a result of that, it was difficult for him to deal with the people. It was difficult for him to succeed in converting them.
So it affected his effectiveness
Exactly.
So I heard the difference. I heard that he isolated himself because he was afraid that the people were going to bring him down. I guess another way to...
Okay, but I'm just saying whether he did that or not. I'm just saying that you're right. It could have been that he was afraid, but I'm saying in the end of the day that also could have helped him. Also, it could have assisted him and supported him.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Have a good night. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shabbos.
Thank you.
Shabbos.